Coming up on this episode of Bear Podcast,
Jurassic Porn,
Seattle's Masturbation Club,
Sense of Touch through Bionic Implants,
Emotion as a Service,
and a snake bites a man's penis.
All these, plus your comments. Enjoy the show.
Bear Podcast 583. Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needed to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And this is episode 583. It's a Tuesday, September 14th.
Wait.
Is it that?
Okay. I got harassed at work because I had a personality sticking out today all day.
Wait a second. Is there something about Ray? Mm-hmm. Or something about Mary? Something about Ray?
No. Just personality mark popping up there.
Okay. So welcome to our show. It's a special day. Well, especially today because it's my husband's birthday. So happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike. Mike.
Yes, that's right. It's actually... He came over this weekend and we celebrated his birthday by going to the St. Arnold's Brewery last Saturday.
It.
You don't like it?
They only had beer.
They only had beer. It's a brewery.
I don't drink.
Oh my God.
Much.
So I feel sad for Ray because he didn't get to drink too much. He did drink a lot of root beer.
And no, I didn't even drink a full glass of root beer.
Oh, because it's pure sugar, right?
Well, no, it's just nasty.
It's nasty. Root beer is nasty.
Can't you just have some water for the non-beer drinking people?
But mm-hmm. Nice.
I need to write a letter.
Well, I enjoyed it because, you know, because of the company. It was always
write
nice.
A letter for me. Huh? Representative Jerry.
Oh, Jerry would have liked it?
Yeah.
So we were there. I drank about two glasses, I think. I can't remember. They give you these glasses. You pay $10 to get in. And it's like picnic tables inside. And we brought food. I brought egg rolls. I made egg rolls that morning. And Ray got some from the store, from some fruits. I didn't think we were going to finish that big tray of fruits, but we did.
The fruit ate the fruit.
The fruit ate the fruit. Yeah, so shout out to our friends. What are their names? Wayne and Canyon were there. Who else?
Mr. Burning Man Gill.
Burning Man Gill. And our friends Jay and Mike, they were there too. So Mike, yeah, there are two Mikes in the party. So it's just a small group, just something impromptu.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually a kind of cool thing to do. I just wish they had something else to drink besides root beer.
You can bring next time. We'll bring a different drink for you.
Well, I don't think you can bring drinks in from the outside.
What?
There's a sign on the door, so we'd have to call and ask.
I wish they would.
We'll have to call and say I'm a recovering alcoholic or something. Okay. Maybe I can get in that way with just water.
Then they'll give you glasses of water. We give you the small glass. Those glasses are pretty small. They're like...
I know, and you get four chips, right?
Yeah, you get four chips.
So you can try four different beers.
That's right.
And that's not even enough beer to get drunk off of, I don't think. That's not even a half a six-pack.
Yeah, people go there like it's a picnic, and people will bring board games, Cards Against Humanity, stuff like that. So that's always fun. Yeah. We didn't get to play it because... Mike and Jay bring one of those Cards Against Humanity cards, but we didn't play. We didn't have time. We have so much fun just talking to each other, actually interacting.
That's right.
Without using phones.
Well, now me and Canyon interacted by phone.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes.
We had a whole conversation by phone.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes. Because it's too far down the table for me to talk to him normally. So, but Gil filled us in on all the Burning Man.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty interesting story.
One of these days, I want to try it. It's just that it's expensive to go to Burning Man. Like, he was talking about...
You
got
to be a rich hippie to go to Burning Man.
Yeah, you have to be a rich hippie, yeah. You have to pay like $300, $350 for something and then $350 to go back. And these storage facilities you have to put in. You have
well,
to
bring that's
your
own
what
food. They do. But they do that as a group where they rent like a storage unit and it costs... $700 round trip to drop the storage unit off and take it back after Burning Man's over with and all that stuff. But I think a whole bunch of them combining that. But the tickets are still like $400, I think he said. And then you have to get your transportation out there to Reno, and then you have to drive 2 hours from Reno into the desert.
I know.
So plus haul all your food in there and everything else.
I think I'll just do it solo, meaning just sleep in the car maybe, right? Can you do that? I guess you can. Rent an SUV and go there and park. Bring your own food and drinks for the whole week. You don't shower. And they even I even saw some pictures online that if you want to shower, you have to pass by like a car wash. Somebody's going to hose you down. And that's it. That's your shower for the week. For the week.
See, that's my problem. I have to have an RV with some water to do a shower or something.
Mm-hmm. But it is interesting, though, just roughing it and walking around naked.
No roughing it. And I don't think I can walk around naked. I'd have on some short shorts or something.
Short shorts?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about Daisy Dukes?
You just want to go because you want to go to the orgy tent.
Oh, there's an orgy tent. That's
allegedly.
Allegedly, there's an orgy tent. But anyway, okay. How did we reach that point? Okay. Anyway, so
you are being dirty minded.
No, you brought up talking about Burning Man. You talk about.
I was just talking about Gil and his Burning Man experience, which I thought was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah,
I learned a lot.
I learned a lot too. And oh my God, okay. I just hope I did the right thing on this recorder here. I hope, yeah, it's still recording, which is awesome. Okay. I forgot to put it on, what do you call this? On sleeping and do not sleep mode. Okay, but it's okay. I think we can make it. I just need to tap it once in a while. Anyway, okay, so. Yes, tap that ass. One more birthday shout out. Michael from Harlingen. So happy birthday. He's also his birthday today too. So
we had another longtime listener that had a birthday the other week, and I think we forgot to recognize it.
Who is it?
Tommy.
Oh, from Dallas?
Yes.
Is his birthday last week?
I want to say...
Well, I should say congratulations to them because they got married.
Oh, that's what it was. They got married. It wasn't a birthday. I remember seeing something. But see, he took me to New Orleans and made me drink a lot, and I forgot a lot.
That's right. So happy birthday, Tommy! And
I don't think it's
happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Congratulations!
Because we got another couple that got married.
Oh, we're getting confused with our celebrations here.
So we got another couple that got married.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Yeah, who are they?
That is Coley. I don't know what his partner's name is.
Frank.
Francis, Coley and Frank. And if y'all know who Coley is, that little Alp growler, he kind of created that, I think.
That's right. He's the creator. He's the one who, yeah. He moved from Columbus to Los Angeles, I believe. So anyway, they got married last weekend. And
They had Debbie Gibson.
If you're looking at the pictures right now, if you're watching the video, they actually had Debbie Gibson in their wedding. It's a surprise. And nobody knew that they got Debbie Gibson. There's a picture of Debbie Gibson. It's not aging
so
well.
I think we're alone now.
I think we're alone now. No, they're not, actually. This is the stage. Anyway, so congratulations, Coley and Frank. I heard you guys had, you know, a very fabulous wedding there in Los Angeles. So, awesome. And what else?
And Tommy, even the...
Oh, yes, Tommy also. Harry.
Harry. Even though y'all didn't have Debbie Gibson, y'all's wedding, I'm sure it's fabulous.
Sure it's fabulous, too.
That's where I remember seeing pictures from the other week. I totally forgot it.
Tommy and Harry. So congratulations, Tommy and Harry. Yep. Yeah, they're a friend of ours. I miss those guys. I haven't seen them. I haven't even seen Harry for a long time. I usually see Tommy at TBRU, but I missed TBRU this year. And Harry's been like... staying home, I guess, all the time. I don't get to see him.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Okay. I did that on Sunday.
You stayed home?
Yeah.
Weren't you with us? Oh, yeah. Where did we go? Oh, yeah. We stayed home. I stayed home, too. That's right. I did lots of yard work. It was very tiring.
I sat up there and watched him.
Mm-hmm. Very supportive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I come out and check on you and cook dinner.
Yeah, that's right. Mike's the cooker. Ray's the cooker. Yeah. Oh, Mike's the cooker, too. He cooked for us last Saturday, remember?
That's right.
Didn't he make burgers
and brats. It's very good. So.
That's right. Okay, so Ray, you introduced me to a very disturbing, although I've been watching it, it's just that I didn't know about this episode.
Well, Z Nation started back Friday night, so, you know, I like zombies. And they had stripper zombies. It was awesome.
So these zombie strippers are just it's just funny because, you know, they would dance and everything. They would, and of course, things fall apart if you're a zombie stripper.
Well, there was the two zombie strippers making out.
And they start eating each other.
So if you haven't seen Z Nation, this season premiere, go watch it. It was hilarious. So, and I think even last year they were poking fun at them on their own selves. And I think there's a couple times during the season where something goes on and they kind of look at the camera and go, eh.
No, really?
Yes. So, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, they're making it. It's very lighthearted. I mean, because there's not no big overdriving plot on it, other than there's zombies and the world's ending and all this other crazy stuff. So
the only plot, it's a very simple plot. They're trying to survive because of the zombie apocalypse, and they actually say the word zombies because Walking Dead and any other, they don't talk about zombies, but these zombies, they really say zombies, and. The goal is there's this guy who's got the cure and they have to bring him to California. That's it. That's the plot of the story. Yeah. And everything that happens in between is just really just fillers.
And last season, they made it over to Colorado. And this season, it kicked off picking up with them in Colorado and blowing everything up.
Okay. So acting is just so horrible in Z Nation.
It's not all that bad. I mean, they got, what's his name? The cute kid from Twilight. He's in there. He's not a bad actor.
You are biased because the guy's from Twilight.
Okay, he acts pretty good. Doc's pretty hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So, but speaking of bad acting.
Okay.
Let's move on to our topic tonight.
Okay.
So, I posted this earlier on the page, and when I looked a little while ago, nobody had put any comments on the Facebook thing. So I assume that nobody's watched it, but you can still come on it, and we'll put the comments on the show next week. Let's see if anybody's commented since I looked earlier. Dun, dun, dun. Internet is so slow here. Oh, my God.
It takes Sorry. Like, it's only Comcast.
Like forever. And there are no comments yet. So I don't understand why y'all don't comment on this. But anyway, our topic tonight is Jurassic Porn, the best parody ever made.
Okay, I saw this and I cannot unsee it. It's just ingrained in my mind, in my eyes. And it's just, I kept laughing and everything because, oh my God, this is so horrible.
It was hot, muscular tigers.
Well, yeah, it's pure. It's
and reptiles.
Guys in reptile heads, and that makes it Jurassic porn, and guys having sex.
So,
I think they're all Asians too, aren't they?
Yeah, all Thai.
All Thai.
It's Thai based. A famous quote: "Porn will find a way."
Uh-huh.
That seems to be the case with a Thai porn parody of the 2015 blockbuster Jurassic World. We have discussed at length the topic of parodies in gay porn, but this production has reached such nirvana of bizarreness and sexiness that we might be in the presence of the best example this niche genre has yet to offer. The movie is such a crazy experiment that John Hammond would be proud. An Asian version of Chris Pratt, check. A drag queen version of Bryce Dallas Howard, check. Character, check. Two clever and horny velociraptors, check. A shot of two that flies, copulating, check. A three-way between the park rangers, check. You see the lovable dinos in this movie. By the way, make sure to take the jump on this post because the full villa is available and sticky, which if you go read the article, you can get sticky. Are attracted to males because, and we're not making this, they have gay DNA inside their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you made it. We just hope no dinosaur was hurt during the production of this movie because we can't wait for the sequel.
There's a sequel? Oh, my God.
So,
they're planning a sequel.
I was hoping some people would go watch the movie so it has some funny comments to put on this, but I thought this was hilarious.
I mean, I was watching it.
The only thing that I saw funnier today than this post was a post from somebody about the dead raccoon in Toronto.
What happened to the dead raccoon in Toronto?
There was a dead raccoon in the middle of the street, on the street sidewalk in Toronto, and the guy took a picture of it and said, called Animal Services. And like 2 days later, Animal Services hadn't come, but there's this whole thing of people like lighting candles.
Really?
Flowers on the raccoon. Leaving notes. It's hilarious. I'll show it to you later.
Oh my God.
So I was laughing pretty hard. But anyway. So anyway, back to the port. So they have two velociraptors. Well, we'll call them velociraptors.
They look like T-Rexes with small heads.
I don't know. I don't know, just because they're Asian, they don't have real small heads. You can't say that. So, but there, at first I thought it was softcore porn type stuff, but they actually do show some hardcore stuff going on in the thing. So
it's almost softcore gay porn, soft yeah. gay porn.
But it's just like so bizarre. Like the drag queen that plays the Bryce Dallas character is just like, oh my gosh, she's so Asian.
So Asian. That's so Asian.
She's so Asian.
That's so terrible. Okay.
And she shows up, Mr. O.
And then.
And she shows up at a cattle farm. Why in the hell are they at a cattle farm? Apparently they filmed this on somebody's cattle farm. And this was the front That's house because right. all was built back in the. Because everything else was filmed outside in the pastures at the cattle farm.
Yeah. It's just. It's just horrible. I was watching it. I kept laughing. I was fast forwarding it. I was just laughing all the way. And oh my God, I can't believe somebody.
So, what other parody porn have you seen that you might be that you think's interesting?
Many years ago, I've seen Sex Trek.
Sex Trek.
And then there's this guy who's playing Spock, of course, and yeah. his ears would grow. It was weird because you know, it just so happened that it's the 7 year itch. You know, the upon far. They only have sex or they have, you know, wild sex when after 7 years. It just so happened that Ponfar was happening to him and was having sex. But that was funny. Yeah.
Let's see, what was the one that I remember? There was a Harry Potter one.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then there was
So they have magic involved?
There was kind of like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
As he putters through Hogwarts or something like that.
And there's ones or dildos for
probably or something. I can't remember all of it. But and then there was another one that was a spoof on like General Hospital that I thought was funny back when I saw it. And that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So what other ones have you seen besides the sex tricks?
Sex tricks. That's the only I could remember because the ones that do parodies are all, you know, they're all straight porn, you know. I don't watch very much straight porn.
Well, there's Donnie Does Dallas.
Who?
Donnie Does Dallas. I think that was it.
Wait. Debbie Does Dallas is already porn, and yeah. they made a parody of the porn.
Yeah, gay porn. It's called
Donnie
Does Dallas, I think. So.
It's okay.
So let us know some of your favorite gay parody porns. And if you have links so we can watch them online so we can talk about them, send them to us at show@bearpodcast.com.
Yes, we can do reviews.
That's right. That'd be great. So.
Okay, entertainment, Ray. So Disney is making a new Mary Poppins, and I don't like the idea of this because the original one,
it was fine.
It was fine by itself. I don't know why they have to make a new one.
Don't need to do nothing, but it is Disney, and just like buying Star Wars and having to change everything in Marvel and having to make a bunch of movies, they're doing the same thing. So
that's right. So in today's reboot happy Hollywood climate, it seems as though it was only a matter of time before Disney decided to revive one of its most celebrated movie characters, Mary Poppins, for a new film. And today we learned that the studio is busy creating a new project for the magical P.L. Travers, masterminded nanny, which Rob Marshall will direct. Thankfully, Disney is restraining itself from a by-the-numbers remake of the 1964 classic, which was recently revisited in 2013's behind-the-scenes biopic, Saving Mr. Banks. I saw that. It's pretty good. So, Saving Mr. Banks is pretty good. Instead, the studio will spin the clock forward on Mary Poppins and the character that earned Julie Andrews her Oscar to Depression-era London 2 decades after the events in the original film. Entertainment Weekly, which first broke the news, reports that the new project, which is decidedly not being developed as a sequel, should have just been a sequel. We'll explore Mary's further adventures with the Banks family and beyond, as illustrated by Travers' 7 additional novels. David McGee, The Finding Neverland, Life of Pi, is what he did, will write the script. Not only will there be a new plot, there's a new plot for Mary Poppins, okay? But the new Mary Poppins movie will feature entirely new songs and score composed by Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman. So they made Hairspray and Smash.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. EW adds that, Entertainment Weekly, adds that Disney and Marshall are collaborating with the Travers Estate and having already earned support from Poppins co-composer Richard Sherman, who penned the original film's famous song like Chim Chim Cheree.
Chim Chim
Cheree. Chim Cheree. And Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Wow.
With his late brother Robert. There is no wonder yet on when the movie is expected to reach theaters or who might succeed Andrews as Mary Poppins 2.0. Who else can see Anne Hathaway? Yeah, maybe Anne Hathaway would be good. Andrews, Princess Diaries co-star in the role. So yeah, Anne Hathaway would be, yeah. I would think she can be a good. Yeah,
or Keira Knightley.
Mary Poppins, what?
Keira Knightley might be a good one.
How about
Glenn Close?
No, it has to be a singing girl. Meryl Streep. No, she doesn't count. How about I forgot her
Cher.
Name. No, she's too old. Oh my god. That's the gay gasp from
Just
Ray.
Remember, all the hate mails go to Nard at bearpodcast.com. That's Nard at bearpodcast.com. Don't email me. That was all them speaking that kind of blasphemy. So, all right, moving on entertainment. Don't forget that we got all the new fall TV series premieres popping up everywhere. Tomorrow night, we got The Bastard Executioner coming up on FX, and that's by, what's his name, Stutter, that did Sons of Anarchy. I had to think about it for a second. But that's on Fox on 9/15. South Park comes back on the Comedy Central on the 16th. Doctor Who, BBC America, pops up on the 19th. And the next week, we kick into high gear. Monday kicks off The Voice on NBC, Gotham on Fox, The Big Bang Theory on CBS, and the new show Minority Report on Fox, which Maynard's interested in. On Tuesday, we see The Muppets on ABC, Scream Queens, 2-hour premiere on Fox, and Limitless, which is a new show based on the movie on CBS, which looks quite interesting. So that's what it is, and we'll do some more next week because I want to get through the first 2 days because we usually don't get the show out till Wednesday. So.
I'm really interested. I've seen some of the previews already of course, Minority Report and Limitless, because Minority Report was, of course, it was popular because of Tom Cruise, and I saw that many years ago. That's right. Minority Report. Mm-hmm. It showcased a lot of high tech stuff, computer stuff, but it was pretty cool. And it's about it's about pre-crime, arresting people before they commit the murder.
It's kind of like pre-coming,
that's right.
But you don't actually get to come.
Yeah, that's right.
They stop it.
Not the real come, but so yeah. That's got to be a good porn, Minority Report. I have to. what could be a good porn parody for Minority Report? So anyway, I'm just thinking, what am I going to say? Minority Report porn version. But anyway, so there's another one, Limitless, which is what's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he did that before. There's this pill that he would take, and he's got these powers. Not really powers, but he was able to harness the power of his mind and becomes focused and everything.
Is it kind of like a Viagra?
Yes, that's right. He was able to. Yeah, it's like a blue pill. But yeah, but then they made it a TV show. So I'm interested on this one because, it's like, I feel like it's going to be like Chuck. Don't you think?
We'll see.
Did you watch the whole Chuck series?
No.
I didn't, but you watched a few?
I watched a few of them, but then I was like, I had so many TV shows I was watching, I had to pick. I cut that one out because I actually didn't think it was going to make it, and it did. So.
Yeah, it did. But, with Chuck, I want to watch it all, but in time, probably.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm still finishing Mr. Robot. Oh, God, I haven't even finished Mr.
Robot. I got to go start that one because he's already finished it without me. The big ones I'm looking for is... The Muppets, which is supposed to be a very interesting like docudrama about the Muppets TV show, and then Scream Queens, which is from the creator of Glee.
Oh God, no!
So it's kind of like Glee and American Horror Story combined, I think.
Oh no!
So it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome.
There's gonna be another Glee type. Anyway, so guys, tell us what you think. TV shows. It's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay, so for the first one is gay. Okay,
and that's all about Maynard.
This really reminds me of Hard, which is the book by Wayne Hoffman. That he's the guy who I interviewed in P-Town. But anyway, let me read the story first. Okay, so Rain City Jacks is Seattle's premier masturbation club. So as Paul Rosenberg, the founder of Seattle's Rain City Jacks, explains to me that. What exactly a jack-off club is. And the interviewer here is a woman. And her imagination plants itself in the middle of a scenario where 60 naked men in a room are walking around with erections, jerking and playing with themselves and one another. It felt more like a nightmare than a dream. Of course, if I really was in the middle of Rain City Jack's popular jack-off events, the men were there would hardly notice me or even be interested because, you know, she's a woman. Men go there to be with other men, to explore masturbation in a male environment. The energy at jack-off clubs is inevitably very focused on physical pleasure and the penis specifically. A pre-press manager for a large in-house design group by day, he's been running Rain City Jack since 2005. The power of the experience lies in the exposure of what is routinely hidden and the sharing of what is almost universally private, our masturbation practice. So these are people who get together, organized, you know, they would get together, they would have a party, there would be invite only, and then somebody would be seeing you at the door. If you accept the invitation, you come over, you and then people get naked and they jack off each other. But, you know, nobody leaves for the next hour. You know, it's kind of common courtesy to stay there for an hour and hang around.
Make sure everybody comes.
Yeah.
It's not like tricks that just come and hit it and then, oh, I'm gone, bye. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so one of the, somebody here, Rosenberg, started the Yahoo group, which is still active today because you can join. Maybe we should find that Yahoo group somewhere.
Maybe we should start our own here in Houston.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. Give me a second. So I found the response to be huge. So the first jack-off club he hosted happened in a hotel room. Seven guys crammed in a room. Eventually, the demand helped it grow mm-hmm. in an actual organization. Wow, it's a club. There's a membership. There's registration. And today, Rain City Jacks is a premier jack-off club that has hosted more than 300 events, averaging about 3 a month, with 60 men showing up regularly. There are a few such 10 clubs operating in North America, and according to Rosenberg, only a small percentage of men even know they exist. Although it's assumed that jack-off clubs rose to popularity in the wake of AIDS in the 80s, when there was a heightened fear of infection through intercourse. Rosenberg says this sort of play had been going on since early history because of desire, not fear of STIs or contracting HIV. So it's interesting that people are still doing this because, you know, jack-off clubs are a pretty small piece of what they would call male bonding.
Not too small.
Not too small. Well, some are small, I guess, like acorn in the bush. Yeah, how about the acorn in the bush situation? Anyway, so... Yeah, use your fingers.
Sensitive, I'm sorry.
That's right. Some people are sensitive about it. But anyway, jack of clubs. Let's start one in Houston. What do you think?
We'll see.
Wow. So what do? We start a Facebook page because who uses Yahoo groups anymore? So you use a Facebook page and then you can invite people and you know the usual suspects. Some of our friends will be the usual suspects who would go, right?
There are some people that cannot come.
Oh, really?
But out.
Oh. Anyway, yeah, we just know some people who were the first ones to take off their clothes in full parties. So I don't know. Is it safe? I mean, it's definitely safe. There's no intercourse. People are just
jacking off. Intercourse, but if somebody's got an STD, you could jack them off and catch the STD
on your hands.
Well, if you jack them off and then start jacking your own self off after they've came on your hands, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess, but what is the, how do you say this? But you do not catch HIV that way. You don't.
No, you don't
catch HIV. You cannot get HIV.
But gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Yeah, you can do that. But do you think people...
The two evil sisters.
But those are pretty much detectable. Those are easily detectable, aren't they?
Well, like, in theory, yes. Some of them are easily
because
detectable.
If there's a rash there or something, you don't do anything. You don't go to that party.
Well, not necessarily. Sometimes you don't know you got it.
Oh, you're maybe a carrier?
Might be a carrier. So. Oh, okay. Or just that built-up rub in your system, but you can still transmit.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to ask
our sexologist.
Sexologist. That's right. That. Okay.
All right. So what do you guys think? Jack of clubs in your hometown. That'd be interesting. Let's ask Devin. Maybe Devin knows of a Jack of club in Chicago.
Devin, is there a Jack of club in Chicago?
Yes, let us know, Devin. Give us a call. Okay. So
that's such a thing. Do y'all think that would work in other places?
Yeah. I mean,
who gets invited? Who controls who comes to this club?
I know. But since it's a private event.
It's a private event.
So it's not illegal. It's private.
It's a private event.
Okay.
So I don't know how he runs it. We'd have to figure out how one works.
We have to find this guy, interview him.
Yeah.
We can ask him, how do you start a Jack of Club? Wow. Okay, we can ask him. All right, let's go to the geekery.
Okay, prosthetic limb used to restore a near natural sense of touch, claims the DARPA.
Just say DARPA.
DARPA.
DARPA. DARPA.
The U.S. military agency DARPA says it has successfully restored a test subject's sense of touch using a prosthetic hand connected directly to the brain. The research was carried out on an anonymous 28-year-old man who was paralyzed after suffering a spinal cord injury more than a decade ago. An array of electrodes were placed in the volunteer's sensory cortex, part of the brain that identifies touch, and then connected to pressure sensors on a prosthetic hand, with electrical signals sent from the hand to the brain. When blindfolded, the subject was able to tell with almost 100% accuracy which of the mechanical fingers on the hand were being touched. At one point, instead of pressing the one finger, the team decided to press two without telling him, said Justin Sanchez, head of DARPA's Revolutionizing Prosthetics Program, which has been developing new upper limb prosthetics since 2006. He responded in jest, asking whether somebody was trying to play a trick on him. That's when we knew that the feelings he was perceiving through the robotic hand were near natural. DARPA previously released footage of their prosthetics work in February this year, showing a volunteer rock climbing using a robotic arm. The $6 million man has finally arrived.
Yes, that's right, definitely. But with a $6 million man.
Or woman.
Well, $6 million man. Was he paralyzed too, and then they made him bionic or something? Or
is just well, really he was badly injured? Remember, he was an astronaut.
Yeah.
And he got injured, and he lost an eye, both legs, an arm.
And then they made him bionic. And they made him better.
Better.
Stronger and faster.
That's right. DARPA claims this research represents the first in the world of prosthetics, but the full extent of their work is not yet clear. It's not the first time that prosthetic limbs have been used to restore sense of touch, but previous research has run up against limitations such as short-lived or imprecise sensations. But even if technology can never restore the full and staggering accuracy of our sense of touch, even a vague approximation can be incredibly helpful, making it easier for amputees to interact with objects and in some cases even eliminating the phantom pain associated with lost limbs.
Oh, yeah, people suffer from that too, yeah.
The work by DARPA is currently awaiting peer review and acceptance of publication in the Scientific Journal, reports the agency. However, it is researchers are confident that they've taken a big step forward toward the seamless biotechnical restoration of near-natural function in prosthetic limbs. Prosthetic limbs can be controlled by thoughts are showing great promise, but without feedback from signals traveling back to the brain, it can be difficult to achieve the level of control needed to perform precise movements, says Sanchez. We've completed the circuit. So,
this is the start
now
of it.
We finally become Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker, definitely, because, wait, I always had the impression that he used the Force to make it move around, don't you think? No? It's all mechanical. It's all robotic.
Just like his dad was mostly robotic.
That's right.
Remember, he lost both his legs.
And both of his arms.
Arms, yeah.
That's right.
Instead of Vader, his name should have been Matt.
Or Art. You know, hanging on the wall. No limbs. Okay, I'm going to introduce one more geek because this is something is important because this is a very good angle for us, Ray. Okay, so...
The
I was listening to a Daily Tech News show, and they are now introducing emotion as a service. You know, software as a service, infrastructure as a service. These services that you see online, cloud services that you do, you pay, and then they give you service. That's pretty much it. Now, there is emotion as a service provided to you by Affectiva. It's a website, affectiva.com. So what it does, here's what they're saying. Send us your videos and we'll give you highly accurate emotion metrics. Emotion as a service analyzes human expressions of emotions simply and cost effectively. Send data collected with optical sensors or cameras. Get powerful emotion data back, highly accurate, no setup, no integration, and on demand. So, okay, how is it used before we actually comment about this? Because this is important. Emotion as a service is used to emotion-enable online digital experiences and to provide advanced emotion analytics. In the digital world, designers and developers can now infuse emotion data into their online experiences to make their interactive and adaptive based on emotion. So facial expressions and emotion scientists are looking at analyzing emotion metrics. So if you're watching a video and you have a camera, you know, there's a kid that can study and you react to it. They know how you react. And if you see a commercial, what do you see? You see a commercial and then you see if it's appealing, if it's really good, if it's curious, you get curious, you could smile and it would give you that it's data going to them that, oh, he liked it. He liked that
males 18 to 24 like this commercial more than others.
Yeah. Things like that. Or if a Doritos commercial and then you're eating it and then.
Well, that's kind of like Minority Report, which we were talking about in the first segment for part of the show that. You know, during that movie, they were people walking through and they were customized commercials for them.
Exactly. That's the point. Yes. Yes, exactly. They will market to you because you like this. Oh, that means you would like this. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. They show you a commercial and it reads that, oh, this has an older man in it. Well, the guy didn't respond good to it. But they put an older woman. He's like, oh, he sees that as his mother, so we can cater that to him. But here's another thing, too. As far as marketing research, you know, they always do those teaser test movies where they get a group of people together to watch the movie and get feedback from
mm-hmm.
it. Now they can get more realistic feedback. Because, you know, some people watch a movie and be like, but is that really how they felt or they just want to say something? Mm-hmm. And if they get cameras on them recording their reaction to this stuff, they'll be able to tell, did they like this cut of the movie? Did they not like this cut of the movie?
Yeah, and it's a lot better, I guess, because the hard part of analyzing people that way, sometimes if you're watching psychologists maybe or somebody people actually looking at the videos of how you react, this is already, you know, an algorithm. It's already a software looking at you and watching your facial expressions and seeing how you react to different stimulus, different kinds of situations and what you see and whatever you smell, whatever you eat, whatever, and then it would study how you react.
Now my question is, what controls are on this?
What controls?
Well, say I'm walking through the mall.
Yeah.
Drinking my Starbucks. Some guy walks up to me and pulls me over to this little thing and says, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you about this great deal, blah, blah, because they do that all the time. What's to say they don't have cameras sitting there pulling the metrics off you?
Well, yeah. That's always
a possibility. Where does it become where it crosses the privacy line?
Exactly. That's one of the... The questions about this. How about privacy? So there has to be a way to opt out. You can opt in. Okay, this is cool. I would like to be studied. Fine. I could watch something. But then it just comes to a point that you should be able to decline this because of privacy issues. And the other angle that I just...
So here's something else too.
All right. I
just thought about. Say... You did interactive porn.
That's my next topic. It's about it. Okay, interactive porn. Go ahead, Ray.
You're watching a porn, and based on your feedback is what dictates what happens in that porn. So if it's something going on that you don't like, then it does something to change it. Say, like, if say if you get all this sucking going on, it's just like, eh, yeah, it's usually 20 minutes of a damn movie that ain't worth watching. And then I'm like, eh, whatever, fast forward, whatever. And then they get to the anal penetration, and the person's like, hey.
Yeah.
Will they start using that to cater certain porn to you?
Well, that's kind of a different... Or will
they make interactive porn reactions and changes things?
That's kind of a different... So what you're doing now is like you choose your own porn kind of adventure.
Based on that first. But the next step is for interactive porn with like artificial intelligence.
No, okay. That's a totally different topic if it's AI.
Why?
Why? Because
it's there now. They've developed the algorithm for that AI to go and read that person's response.
Well, yes, but AI is different because it's actually in real time learning things. And when you say AI, it's more communication, isn't it? But that's a totally different.
The algorithm's there. Why can't they run it in real time?
What happens is what they really use this for is for really emotion data because they want to sell data to you, not necessarily reacting. I don't know. It's not
this topic. Well, yeah, they want to sell data to you, but let's take it to the next step when it's real time. If you're a salesperson and you got on your Google glasses and this algorithm's running while you're trying to sell somebody and it's prompting you what's going on with that other person,
mm-hmm.
that is a hell of a sales tool.
Yeah, that's true. But then won't people's reaction would be, get away from me. I don't want to be sold to. That's good. I don't know.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you get your foot in the door of the meeting, you can tell real quick because some people, there might be not things that you can't. I mean, there are certain things that you can tell about body language.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people you can't read that's very well at not doing that because they've been in the game long enough and they're just sitting there listening to it. See, and then it's like, here's the metrics that says, oh, this person's really not that interested in this. Or or say you're talking about this section of the product and everybody in the room's bored as hell. And things says beep, you need to, then you know, if it beeps once or something, you need to know you got to speed up.
Okay. I mean, so if that's the case, then that's when you draw the line because that's already invasion of privacy because you're already using someone's emotions against that person. That's the issue on this. I have to have a way to opt out from this. Maybe they could ask first. Do you mind if I use emotion second sensor on you? If you say yes, yes, okay, go ahead. And then you spiel and then wait for his reactions, whatever. If they say no, then I'm not going to use it, but then I'll just
give you something. We all know that corporations find ways around all that bullshit.
Well, maybe. Like yeah,
telemarketers,
they do.
Do you think they still honor that time? How many telephone calls do you get before 7 a.m. in the morning?
I don't. Mike calls.
But there are telemarketing calls.
Really?
Stuff. Yes.
People call at 7 a.m.?
Yes.
I've never experienced that.
On Saturday morning, stuff like that?
Yeah. Usually they call. Telemarketers usually call out at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Well, that's because usually when most people, they know that's when most
people. Yeah, people are home. But not in the morning.
That's why I don't answer my phone anymore. I let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
That way they never know.
That's why when I call you, I'm not a telemarketer.
So, let us know what y'all think and what I still think that the IA application of this will be what makes Six more realistic.
Actually, I have a porn angle to this. You know, like if you're watching porn and you're being sensed this way in your reaction, like it comes to a point that you're jacking off because you like what you're seeing, and then oh, good, okay, then we'll sell a product that's good for I don't know, like a.
Or it's integrated into the DVD, and the DVD keeps up with your reaction. So the closer you get to climax on the screen, then maybe the video gets more to closer to climax.
About that. But anyway, so what do you guys think? Emotion is
the ultimate thing is for both of you to come together, even though it all happened in the real world. We know that's
well,
but
yeah. But I think you were talking about. Choose your own porn adventure.
Not really. I'm just talking
about. Yeah, because.
I'm just talking about I paid $100 for this porn and I sit down and this porn.
That's expensive porn. Oh my God.
We used to go buy porn. I mean, you used to go buy porn and it was $60 a DVD.
Yeah, I remember for the good shit. Yeah.
So I'm talking about something that's interactive that I can plug into my computer and watch it. I can interact with it. It sees how I'm reacting to what's going on that screen, and it makes adjustments.
Okay. So, oh, okay. One of the things that this detects is the few things that it detects: anger, sadness, disgust, joy, surprise, fear, and contempt. There you go. If you're watching the video, see Ray's reactions. Okay.
I nailed it.
He nailed it. Yeah, that's right. So, okay, based on those reactions, yeah, it really just detects if you're happy. I guess it's just a meter. I imagine this is just a meter. If you're watching something, they've got the steps, joy, sadness, disgust. You know?
No, I think that it's going to be evolving before that, because it's going to be a very powerful marketing tool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
okay, so that's interesting. Geek article. Okay, so let's go to the bizarre array.
Okay. Farmer urinating in a field is left in agony after a snake bites him on the penis. Penis. The penis is so good, they just slap him. Okay. A farmer who urinated in a field was rushed to the hospital after a snake bit him on the penis. The 46-year-old came to the emergency room of a hospital in Srinagar in the northern state of Jammu in Kashmir. These are foreign places I'll never be. 3 hours after suffering the bite, although the man was stable, his penis was grossly swollen. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
And covered in fluid-filled blisters where the snake's teeth had entered, said doctors describing the case in the New England Journal of Medicine. The snake was identified by the patient as a gunas, the local name for the Levantine viper, a snake whose venom is known to be venomous. Well, that's why it's a venomous snake.
A snake whose venom is known to be venomous? What kind of an article is this?
He was immediately tested and found his blood was clotting faster than usual due to the snake's venom. He was given an anti-venom that neutralized the potion of the cobra, common coryat, and viper. 3 days after he began treatment, the blood was clotting normally again and he was allowed to go home. The swelling in his penis went down 4 days after he left the hospital, although he was left with black wounds in the places where the snake's fang had punctured his penis. This was because the venom had caused necrosis, the tissue to wither and die. As a follow-up, 2 weeks later, he was found to be completely recovered. The man was treated at the Institute of Medical Sciences in India. The news comes as a leading medical charity warns the world will run out of one of the most effective treatments for snake bites next year, putting thousands of lives in danger. Doctors Without Borders, who also known by its French name, Doctors Without Borders, says existing stockpiles of the antivenom medicine Fav-Afrique, produced by a pharmaceutical company, Sanofi Pasteur, will expire in June next year. The company stopped producing the antivenom last year and has since started using the same technology to make rabies treatment instead. About 5 million people are bitten by snakes every year, which leads to 100,000 deaths and several hundred thousand others who suffer amputations or other disabilities.
Okay, he is lucky he still has his penis.
I know.
But he does say this was black wounds in the place where the snake's fangs had punctured the penis.
Well, my question, how this did was the because snake the penis get up there on his penis?
I don't know. He's on the wall, trying to pee on the wall? No, he's in the forest.
My question, was he squatting?
Wait, this is India. Yeah, probably. He must be squatting. Wait, maybe he's not only peeing. He might be pooping, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he was squatting. I know a snake can jump out and do something. But, I mean, first of all, what'd you do? Just walk over to the local apple tree and pee in it and let the snake bite you or what?
I know.
I mean, because
you have to be really high.
Penis is up here. Well, here.
Lowering.
Snake is down here. So, not they couldn't call and bite up, but I just don't.
You don't buy it.
I don't know. It's weird. It sounds weird.
I think he must.
Sounds a little fishy to me.
Yeah. So how could he be bit there? I feel sorry for him, but he's now recovered. That's good.
And was his penis larger after all the swelling?
Yes, probably 19 inches. Maybe. All foreskin. 19 all inches of foreskin.
19 inches and all foreskin. That sounds like a Duggar. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
That sounds like a
Duggar.
Duggar.
Don't Duggar me. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I guess, well, that's it for the show. I think it's interesting articles. Oh, by the way, we have a we have a comment from YouTube on episode 582. Sorry. Yeah, it's from M. Young. And he says he loved the episode.
I'm glad somebody likes something right here.
Episode that was, what were we talking about that back then? I can't remember. Episode 582. Oh, yeah. We're talking about, oh yeah, IFCON and Saint Rock and everything. So yeah, it was a fun show last week, I remember. Okay, so I'm glad M. Young Shyamalan I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for watching or listening. Okay, so what are we planning this weekend, Ray? Wait, we're planning to watch Maze Runner. At some point.
The Scorch Trials. But we're going to have to wait until I get back because I'm going to...
Oh, that's right. Out of town. Ray's going to Dallas. You're coming back Sunday?
Shh, don't tell him I'm going to Dallas.
Oh, okay. I won't tell anyone that you're going to Dallas. Okay. So thank you everyone for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a phone call and leave us a voice message at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-2327. B-E-A-R. Give us a call, leave a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
Yes, and subscribe via iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo. And you can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and the Bear Radio Network. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening or watching. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear. Podcast.